Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm James Shakeshaft.
And I'm Alistair Beckett King.
Well, Alistair, we've got a little treat this week.
Have we?
It's the Christmas Pig episode, Toby the Sapient Pig.
Oh, and you've held it back. You've held it back, so it's aged like a fine wine.
Yes, or a Jambon Iberico. I've no idea how it's made or how it's pronounced.
Now, James, level with me. Was there a microphone problem with this episode? Tell me.
I might have slightly fallen down a well. Only ever so slightly. I think only the truly eagle-eared will notice.
Okay, because you're quite tall, James. Even if you were in a well, maybe the top part of your head would still be out of the well.
If I was her out of the ring, it wouldn't be that scary. So enjoy the story of a very clever pig. I want to tell you about Toby the Sapient Pig. I have here a pamphlet.
The Life and Adventures of Toby the Sapient Pig. And I don't know if the viewers can see, but the highlight of this front page are the words, written by himself.
Yes.
Wow.
It's an autobiography of a pig.
A pig's autobiography.
But we'll get to that. So there was a fad for clever pigs. It began around the 1780s, and it was inspired by the Horse of Knowledge.
Who's the Horse of Knowledge?
That was Marocco, the thinking horse.
Okay, Marocco, the clever horse.
Who, as far as we can tell, was the original clever animal, apart from some humans. Yeah, Marocco, the thinking horse. That he lived 1586 to 1606, and it was one of those animals that could count. They could spell out words. It's a thinking horse. You know, they would tap on the ground to count out numbers. Some of the clever pigs could guess people's ages.
I have seen a counting donkey at the circus before. I mean, arguably, what I saw was a donkey that has been trained to stamp its hoof every time the person holding it tugs on its collar.
Mm.
And then what I think I was watching was the ringmaster doing maths in his head and then tugging on the collar to give the... So basically feeding the answer to the... Like that guy who won Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but with a donkey, passing it on to the donkey. And I don't know if the donkey is in on the... I don't know if the donkey knows that it's a scam. I mean, the donkey's innocent, really. It's just being used as a tool.
When you said Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I instantly swapped it out for Britain's Got Talent. And I thought, I know I haven't watched it, but just a guy doing maths. But he was being fed the answers.
Yeah, it's mostly about counting horses.
There's one horse. Oh, no, horses that can count. Right, I get it. So it moved away from horses to pigs, I guess because they're smaller, less running costs on a pig.
Yeah, the overheads on a pig are almost nil. Because they eat anything, including pigs. So,
well, the original learned pig was trained by Samuel Bissett.
Can I jump in and raise a point of order here, James?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, for the first time in my life, I've been playing the Ace Attorney games. So, hold it. Point of order. When you pitched this to me, you said we were going to talk about Toby the learned pig, and I said
yes.
And I've noticed that now we're recording it, you're saying learned pig, and in between times, I said to you, "Is it not learned pig?" And you said, "I'll look into it."
Yeah, and I looked into it and it turned out it is learned.
Okay.
Yes, the original learned pig was trained by Samuel Bissett, and the pig outlived Bissett and was taken over by a Mr. Nicholson, who brought it to London, reportedly around 1785. And the pig reportedly died in 1788, but it was later reported that it had returned from France after the Revolution and was ready to discourse on the feudal system, the right of kings, and the destruction of the Bastille.
Wow. Oh, so this pig's a royalist.
We just wanted to talk about it.
Okay, well...
Might not have believed in it.
Before I take sides here, I'm going to have to know what its opinions on those subjects were, because if this pig is a counter-revolutionary, I think it needs to go.
It's an undead counter-revolutionary.
One of the most dangerous kinds.
Yeah. Samuel Johnson... who never saw the pig, but that didn't stop him from having opinions.
Not surprised about that at all.
He was having a discussion about how the pig was trained, and someone present said it was probably tortured, to which Johnson said, the pig... What voice does Johnson have? The pig has no cause to complain. He would have been killed the first year if he'd not been educated. Yikes. Yikes, Samuel.
I'm now on the pig's side because like, he sounds like a telegraph columnist. So, learned pigs.
In 1798, there was an American Pig of Knowledge, which was presented by William Frederick Pinchbeck. He toured major towns and introduced the pig to President John Adams.
Oh, yeah.
To universal applause.
Universal applause.
Universal. Not even worldwide. Not even global.
Universal. Wow, that's like the World Series of introducing pigs to people. I imagine introducing a talking pig, not even a talking pig, but a clever pig to the president. It was like, I'm a president. What are you doing? So it's like, this pig can count. It's like, what do you mean the pig can count? I'm the president. This is ridiculous.
And you're not introducing, you're showing me a pig. I'm not being introduced to a pig.
What you've done is you've shown me a pig.
So Pinchbeck published a pamph explaining how he trained the pig. And do you remember how we've talked about before in the past, like you could call anything, you could give things quite cool names because no names had been used?
Yes.
So you could give it quite pithy names, like old films have got like cool names, like Rear Window, or Psycho.
Like when we were trying to name this podcast, we thought about What the Folklore, but there is a podcast called that. Have you ever tried to come up with a name for a fake band or a fake coffee shop? It's very hard to do because every band name or coffee shop name you can think of is the name of a band or a coffee shop somewhere.
Well, this pamph was called, this used all the words. Hold on. I'm genuinely going to need to take a big swig of water to do this. The Expositor, or Many Mysteries Unraveled, delineated in a series of letters between a friend and his correspondent, comprising the Learned Pig, Invisible Lady, and Acoustic Temple, Philosophical Swan, Penetrating Spyglasses, Optical and Magnetic, and various other curiosities on similar principles. Also, a few of the most wonderful feats...
We're still in the title here, are we?
This is still the title. Also, a few of the most wonderful feats as performed by the art of Legerdemain.
I think that's Legerdemain, or Legerdemain.
Legerdemain.
Which means prestidigitation.
What?
Or sleight of hand.
With some reflections on ventriloquism.
Wow. So I think they don't really know what titles are at this point in history. I haven't quite worked out what titles are.
If those pamphlets where you see the front page is just covered in words because they didn't have pictures. Mm. Someone said, paint a picture with your words. That doesn't mean cover the page with words.
That's a contents page where you list everything that's in the book. That's not a title.
And then in the early 19th century, Nicholas Hoare, an illusionist, exhibited Toby, the sapient pig.
Here we go. Now we're cooking with pigs.
And in 1817, the autobiography was published. The life. And would you like just a little summary of Toby's life?
Yeah. You've twisted my tail. Let's do it.
What sort of voice do you think Toby would have?
Probably quite a friendly voice.
Friendly like a Sandown clown.
Yeah, but maybe more.
There's quite a bit to read.
Can you get a bit of pork in there? Can you get a bit of pork into that voice?
Friendly.
Yes, all that sounds like bacon crackling in the pan. Beautiful. Mm. Beautiful.
So I was born in a place, I'm rightly informed, called Avasol.
It's gone towards Sippy from Rainbow, but I'll allow it.
No. My father was an independent gentleman who roamed at large, and my mother a spinster. I was one among many more who were the offsprings of an illicit amour between her and my father.
Sorry, is this pig explaining that his parents, who were pigs, were unmarried?
Yes.
Okay, quite scandalous, but also fairly standard for pigs.
And then a man comes to the pub and sees Toby and just seems to like him.
You know what it's like? You have had a couple of drinks and you look over the bar and there's a really clever pig there.
Mm.
Who's that?
The gentleman, after refreshing himself, put me in a little box.
And let's be clear, by refreshing himself, I'm sure he means drinking.
Well, actually, that might come in later. From the moment I left my place of nativity, my preceptor became my constant companion by day and night. Asleep or awake, he was all but few removes from me. I wish all tutors would discharge their duties in the like manner. If they did, we should not have so many blockheads in the world as we see every day.
Oh, little bit of stand-up comedy. Am I right?
Yeah.
What's the deal with blockheads, guys?
They didn't have a tutor around them at all times.
That's the reason.
And how he got his name is recollecting Hamlet's soliloquy, to be or not to be.
Hamlet.
Yeah.
I can see why that's his preferred play.
Because he is a little Hamlet. He's a baby pig.
He's a small ham, yeah.
Yes. And the guy said to Nicholas, I guess it must be, said to be or not to be, and that somehow sort of turned into Toby. So he's named after, he's got a Shakespearean name. No wonder he's such a clever pig. By the time Toby was 4 months old, he could read tolerably well. And I know many little boys and girls at 4 years old that cannot do anything like it. What a shame they will appear to them, and how angry they will be with themselves when they are able to read this, my life, that one of my race should so far surpass them at so tender an age. It's a bit of bitterness.
Why are you so angry, Toby the sapient pig?
I never went hungry to bed, as many little ladies and gentlemen do very often. More shame for them.
Wow, there's a lot more social commentary here than I was expecting.
Yeah.
Young people today, says a pig, are blockheads. Illiterate blockheads.
Who are sometimes hungry.
Yeah.
So Nicholas Hoare was touring around. He had an equestrian troupe of some eminence. And then one day there was an incident or accident. One day, as we were passing a narrow lane, one side of which was a ditch, the horse before took fright at a man who suddenly popped through the hedge and set off at full speed. The horse set off at full speed. So he's got frightened by a man popping out of a hedge. And it crashed into Toby and Nicholas's cart and sent them into the ditch, and Nicholas managed to find Toby and he was fine. From this time, I knew not the reason, but the affairs of my master every day grew worse and worse. One misfortune or another attended him constantly. So his business began to suffer. He put all his efforts, though, into Toby, the sapient pig. By the time I was 6 months old, he deemed it fit that I should make my first bow to an audience that he had drawn together in a poor village in Essex.
Now, can pigs bow?
If they can't look up.
Yeah, famously.
Which is a rumour.
I think we may discuss whether or not they can look up in one of the Christmas pig specials.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can't look up, can they bow?
Can they look down?
Can they look down?
Don't know.
Just asking questions.
Like Toby.
Yep.
About the middle of my performance, a young farmer came in who I did not at first sight approve of. There appearing to be something about him which I had never before seen. He insulted everybody, more or less, amongst others myself, at which I took an offence. It was the first time I had ever seen a man drunk.
Right.
My master, I believe, being one of the soberest men alive.
That frankly shocks me, that the guy whose main thing is clever horses and pigs is the soberest man alive. That surprises me.
Yeah. As our immortal poet says, oh, that a man should put an enemy in his mouth to steal away his brains.
Sorry?
Oh, that a man should put an enemy in his mouth.
Should put an enemy in his mouth?
Yes, to steal away his brains.
To steal away his brains?
Yeah, I think it's Shakespeare.
What was Shakespeare getting at there?
Put in a little, tiny little man.
Yeah, in your mouth.
In your mouth, and the man climbs up and steals your brains.
And you shouldn't do that.
No, that's bad.
I don't feel like I need to be warned against that. What are you playing at, Shakespeare?
I don't know.
Taking the mick with his advice.
Yeah, basically, he disliked drunks from that day forth.
I can understand. Well, I mean, look, you and I have done some tough gigs in Essex.
Exactly.
I've turned around completely on Toby the Sapient Pig. I now regard him as one of the fraternity, one of the road hogs who travel around just trying to bring a little joy into people's lives. And how are we repaid for our sacrifices? With scorn.
Well, funny you should say that. It was my master's determination to accustom me as much as possible to the sight of the public, under whatever disadvantage might present itself, and to speak truth for a length of time during the winter of last year.
Yeah, because stand-up comedy is just about telling the truth, isn't it? And the people don't always like it, but you've got to tell your truth, haven't you, on stage? That's what it's about. It's not about making people laugh or doing any work. It's about telling the truth.
And basic maths.
And learning to count, yeah. MB in the chat is making an interesting point. Funny that this pamph, written by the pig and not at all by its master himself, is so complimentary of the master. Great observation.
The greatest man. It sounds like this master was the greatest man that ever lived.
He is sounding pretty impressive.
Basically describes doing loads and loads of gigs, sometimes to a beggarly account of empty boxes. So like, hey, yeah, tough gig.
Yeah, we've all been there. Mm-hmm. You've got to pay your dues, as Ringo Starr said.
The period at last arrived when we were to be solace for all our sufferings. An agreement was entered into with the proprietor of the Royal Promenade Rooms, Spring Gardens, for my first appearance before a London audience.
His big break. a metropolitan London audience is gonna have to woke it up. They won't be accepting the same kind of truth bombs you can drop on the home counties. Not in London, no siree.
I became the topic of the day. Expectation was on the wing. The prying eye of curiosity was wide open.
he's drifting towards Ion.
He is a bit, yeah.
He's moving ironward.
The day arrived that was to make me or mar me forever. Those who have been in a similar situation can alone be able to conceive what I must have felt. As the time grew nearer, it was dreadful. However, I possess a strong nerve and some small share of confidence.
This is a big deal for him. Probably like Chris Cantrell recording a show for Radio 4. You know, it's like, this is it. You know, will the listeners of Britain be able to understand a word I'm saying? Will they have to run it through some kind of AI in order to turn it into recognisable English? He's nervous.
He's right to be. My first appearance was greeted with loud and reiterated plaudits. From every part, handkerchiefs waving, fans rapping, placards exhibited.
Placards? People brought placards?
Or bare placards, were like, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah.
And we'll put our message on.
Bring a blank placard and a marker.
Never till then was my heart so elated. My master was mute in astonishment at the success of my onset, and we consoled each other when all was over at the golden harvest that presented itself. Again, I think that was a one-sided conversation.
Mm.
The next morning, the papers teemed with critiques of my performance. But they twisted me sadly, some of the editors, from what they wrote.
Oh, these hacks. Some of them just aren't brave enough to go out and be a clever pig themselves.
A lot of them are failed clever pigs, yeah. Toby implies that some of those critics, they weren't even at the gig.
What?
Yeah.
Jeez, so righteous.
Yes. So he does go over one of the origin stories that was put around at the time, that his mother... whilst pregnant with him, went into a gentleman's library and ate some books.
Yep, that's good. What happened to Toby the Serpent Pig?
We don't know what happened to him. It's obviously an autobiography, so the pig's still alive at the end. They must have died. But Toby went on to become the name for a clever pig.
It right, was
like,
I see.
Just became the name. And clever pigs in general became like a stalwart of satire.
Mm.
It was shown as moral panic kind of thing. There's one of those hilarious cartoons.
Oh, I love a political cartoon.
Just an intricate drawing.
Yeah, way too many speech bubbles.
This was called The Downfall of Taste and Genius.
You could really satirise broad things.
Mm.
Like, you could just do a really big drawing called Everyone But Me's a Fool. And they're all stupid and I hate them. And then you could just do a drawing of everyone you didn't like just falling into a toilet, having their trousers pulled down.
Yes, basically. The classical muses flee while the learned pig leads an assault on the arts as Shakespeare and Pope's works are cast aside.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the story of Toby, the sapient pig, in his own words.
What a story.
So, would you like to score my pig?
I would love to pass judgment on little Tobes. I do have one question, James.
Oh, yes.
Did a pig write that?
I mean, it says it here. It says written by himself.
I'm asking you, though, now, James. You can't speak in Toby's voice.
This was reprinted. Reprinted by Curious Publications.
Did a pig write it, really?
It may have had to dictate it very slowly, like A Brief History of Time.
Yeah, let's continue to sit on that fence.
Nicholas Orr was an illusionist.
Well, we're talking about the most honest and brilliant and soberest man.
Yeah, the wonderful Nicholas Orr was an illusionist. So, you know, he might have been able to talk to pigs.
Yeah, probably could just ask the pig what do you want to put in the book? And the pig just oiked suggestions. I can see him sitting there at the typewriter and the pig oinking back and forth, smoking with a whiskey. Just trying to think of what to do.
Oink, cetera.
Yeah.
So, yes, let's score this pig.
Let's score it.
Category the first, naming.
Names, Toby the Sapient Pig.
Mm.
Great name.
Exactly.
The name of that pamphlet that goes on for 5 pages. Great name.
It's got all the words in it. The Expositor, or Many Mysteries Unraveled, blah, 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 ventriloquism. Pinchbeck.
Pinchbeck, very nice.
That was the guy, isn't it? William Frederick Pinchbeck. What
does Pinchbeck mean? Because it suggests the theft of a stream. A beck is a stream, isn't it?
A stream chicane.
Oh, yeah, could be. Mm. Pinchbeck is a form of brass, an alloy of copper and zinc mixed in proportions so that it closely resembles gold in appearance. Brilliant Googling, Ellie.
Gold.
Ooh, fake gold.
That's good for a clever pig's owner. Mm. What do you reckon for names then?
Well, I think it's a three, but since it's Christmas pig,
yes,
I'm going to make it four. Pop an extra point in the stocking for you there, Jeff.
Oh, like right down the end, like a pound coin.
Right at the end,
coin.
Yeah, like a tangerine.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I'll take that. The second category is supernatural.
Well, this is a challenge because several questions are raised. Did the pig really write it is one of those questions.
Well.
Another question is it supernatural for a pig to be intelligent or is that within the bounds of science?
Yes.
This is just simply a learned pig.
It's just simply.
The pig wasn't enchanted. It's not a haunted pig.
However, one pig did want to talk about the French Revolution after it had died.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yes, I forgot about the zombie royalist pig.
The potential, not necessarily,
not
just
necessarily
asking questions.
Right. Actually neither left nor right. All right, in that case, I'm afraid it's a 1 out of 5 for one possibly zombie, possibly royalist pig.
Third category. I've got you on this one.
Oh.
It is amount of pigs of Christmas pig.
Amount of pigs of Christmas. James, are you telling me that you've planned to do 5 episodes over the Christmas period purely win a point in the scores of our Christmas live stream?
Will it win me the points?
I mean, yeah, it's 5 out of 5 for amount of pig, because this has been a absolutely pork-packed episode. It's like a tin of Spam in here.
It's better than most sausages.
Mm. Oh, yeah, there's no mealy grain here.
Mm-mm-mm.
Not a hint of sage. It's pure pig.
All the way.
Robes of Sand says, classic Shake Shaft move. Absolutely. What a schemer. Who is the real clever pig? That's the question I'm asking.
Well, I'm going to need a category from the chatagory.
Oh, so we need to ask the chat to come up with a category. But are you telling me you've got a third category of your own? Okay, well, we're getting lots of suggestions. Charlotte's Web of Lies is being resuggested as a category. Hogwash, very good. But let's do Sora's suggestion.
Final category is from the chatagory. Thank you very much, the chatagory.
Thank you, Sora, for suggesting category 5.
Charlotte's Web of Lies.
Charlotte's Web has famously a clever pig in it.
Got a clever pig.
It's confusing, though, because the name is about a spider, Charlotte.
It's pig, not Charlotte.
Charlotte's the spider, right? Who spins the web.
Unless the spider named it after the pig.
I'm going to have to find this out right now. Charlotte's
Web.
Yeah,
we need some live Googling.
Charlotte's Web. It tells the story of a livestock pig named Wilbur and his friendship with a spider named Charlotte.
Okay, great. Okay.
A pig couldn't live in a web.
It's too heavy.
Too heavy.
But it is a web of lies.
It's absolutely
surely
a web of lies. I don't believe for a second that a pig wrote that.
I don't believe that an illusionist could be that nice.
I just think a story about supposedly written by a pig, presented by a professional illusionist, is something that you and I, James, as broad-minded skeptics, ought to be a little bit leery of. Just a little bit of skepticism. I don't think a pig wrote it. And so it's 5 out of 5.
Yes.
Counterbalancing the 1 out of 5 for supernatural. A full,
thank goodness,
full 5. A deep mince pie of points.
A deep porky mince pie. That sounds horrible.
Yes. Oh, mince pies, for the benefit of people who aren't British, it's sweet mincemeat. So they're a sweet dessert. It's meat in the old fashioned sense of meat, like sweet meats.
Exactly right.
You know what you don't hear about much these days, James? Nosegays.
What are they?
I think they're just things that smell nice. Like, you know, because everybody presumably
stank.
Used to stink. So you would carry around little nosegays. You'd have nosegays and sweetmeats. Those were the days. But these days, young people are all blockheads. Now, that episode was rescheduled because of Chris Cantrill calling in a favour.
Yes.
And saying he wanted to be episode 200.
That would have made a really good episode 200, apart from me being in a well.
That would have been a great episode 200, yeah.
If you want to hear some bonus stuff, join us on the Patreon at patreon.com/lawmenpod, and you get access to the Discord, and that's where you'll hear first about things like live streams, live shows, e.g. Leicester Comedy Festival 2024, which is coming up. Buy some tickets.
Sometimes we just talk about Chris.
Sometimes we just talk about Chris.
Christmas pig.
Mistletoe and pig. Pigs. Singing Christian pigs. With pigs on the fire. Oh, this has turned dark. And pigs on the tree. Get out of the tree, pigs. You can't climb.